Right now, it is time for someone who needs no explanation. It's time for Dr. Judy Wertmann and Food for Mood. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com. Also, Simon Loses His Tummy. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Wertmann.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Marsha, maybe you should do a DNA analysis. That
would No, that would be too scientific.
Or do not finger, but paw prints.
But I just don't know what it could be other than that.
I understand. The problem with theories just in life is if you don't know what it could be, so you arrive at something, you
exactly.
close your mind to something else. That's all I'm saying. I
would put it on Facebook, and you can get at least 5 million answers.
5 million answers.
No, because then I'll get some other people saying, hey, let's go up and vandalize his other cars.
People don't understand that 90...
It's like the dog ate my homework.
That's right.
99.8% of the people who use Facebook use it in the most benign way. That other 0.02% can just nail you
Let's just move on here.
Well, you're going to love this next topic because it just makes me ill thinking
about...
What's
it on, bear meat?
Close. Tuna. No, not. And honestly, Judy, what I think is so interesting, because I have been watching a lot of sports and therefore a lot of advertisements, and as people get further and further away, this is not for people who make their own food. This is, but we pretty much have a generation that just buys food.
What I'm talking really about is the fact that we are in jeopardy all the time of eating foods that are contaminated with a variety of bacteria whose names we can't pronounce, let alone spell, or vice versa. And what occurs to us, once this happens, is, okay, we have to be more careful. We shouldn't be buying romaine lettuce or strawberries. Or last year, it was contaminated flour. Who knew there was such a thing? Or packaged, cut-up melon, the kind that you buy sometimes with other kinds of, or vegetables, sometimes that comes with, little crackers or something. And what occurred to me is that, sure, once we hear these alerts, and you hear them usually long after the fact in the newspaper, you can pick them up much earlier if you are, like one of my relatives, simply paranoid about the safety of food and regularly troll, as it were, the reports that come from the Center for Disease Control and other government centers telling you what is new on the list of contaminated foods. But the problem, Jill, is that we hear about it after the fact, and it's like having a bomb drop next to you. Oh, good, it didn't hit my shoe today. You hear about, really seriously poor people, who got sick and sometimes died in states, far from us, or maybe even next door. You think, oh my goodness, I might be the next person. And how would you know? There is absolutely no way when you pick up the next package of lettuce or celery or spinach or yogurt or what have you, that you may be eating food that has bacteria. If let loose in your body, may take out your kidneys or your liver. I mean, do to your body what the bear apparently has done to Marshall's car, and you have no way of knowing. And Jill, even if you grow your own produce, grind your wheat that's homegrown into flour, etc., and grow your own chickens, and get your own eggs, you still may be vulnerable because you can't possibly grow everything in your food supply. And the other thing is, what about restaurant food? That was a new one on me. I think that your listeners can or cannot go to a website called iwaspoisoned.com and read about people's experiences in restaurants that caused them to go home and have experience food poisoning. And we all have had that experience.
Yeah, and mostly what the situation is, people, but this is, it's actually not just food, it's everything. People don't stop to think about what goes into something.
Right.
And so once you're not thinking about that, it's very easy to just, forgive me, eat in this instance what's put in front of you. And
no, you're absolutely right.
And just even a simple, okay, it's like, all right, if you even looked at it, Not through a lens to take a picture of it. But if you actually looked at it, you can see certain things. If you're at a picnic, for example, and it's 95 degrees out, and you can't, you need to think about what that might be doing to the macaroni salad.
Well, you know, and you go to, and I hope everybody had a healthy 4th of July yesterday, in addition to a happy one. But you're right. You come to somebody's backyard for a barbecue, and you might be, let's say, invited at 2 or 3 for, you know, a late afternoon lunch leading into dinner, leading into fireworks or something, watching the fireworks. And you're right, Jill. You don't know how long that potato slash macaroni salad sat out there with the mayonnaise, or maybe, you know, some other dessert, or dessert that might have had cream in it or eggs in it. You don't even know how long those hot dogs or hamburgers might have been sitting out there in the sun before being put on the grill. And you just sort of eat it without even thinking about it. And the sad thing is that, you know, most people are lucky and they won't get sick, but many people will. And you don't get just a little bit sick. When people get sick, you know, even if they recover 24 hours later, it's an extremely unpleasant situation, a process that you go through, and people really have died. I mean, the one nasty, horribly nasty example I picked up was from this banquet in England where I can't believe it was even served, but something that they called a chicken liver parfait, which is like sort of a chicken liver pate, I guess we would call it, or a mousse. It was served at an awards dinner for somebody who was getting an award for working, you know, being the best employee at the company. And this poor guy got so sick that he was literally paralyzed. He couldn't even close his eyelids. And he nearly died, and he was in the hospital for weeks. Now, how would he or any of the other 300 or 500 people in that banquet who ate this have known that when this particular dish was being cooked, it wasn't being cooked to the proper temperature? It wasn't even a matter of it being left out inside, left out on the tables and to get warm. When it was prepared, apparently the recipe called for being cooked, let's say, at 180 degrees, and it should have been cooked at 250 degrees in order to kill this horrible bacteria lurking within that caused such terrible effects, symptoms. So you don't know. And, you know, I think you're right. I think you just have to say, okay, this could be contaminated. I'm not going to eat it. You know, maybe that key lime pie looks absolutely wonderful. It's a very, very popular dessert in the Florida area. But I don't know how long somebody bought it, you know, left it outside after buying it. I'm not sure if it came from not the, you know, the most reputable restaurant in the area. I don't know if the employees washed their hands after they left the restroom or, you know, maybe used sterilized eggs. I don't know. I'm not going to eat it. And I think it's worth just avoiding it because you really avoid lifetime misery as a result.
Yeah, and I think we have all, I think we've all experienced it, but I mean, everybody knows the after effects of having eaten something. You know, you can even physically, I've always found, you can tell. You know, you think back and you go, you know, you say, oh, was it the, and, you know, your body will say, yeah, actually, it was.
Exactly. And of course, we have to take precautions in our own kitchens because, you know, you can so easily contaminate things. I mean, I read, you know, about decontaminating your sponges in a microwave or a dishwasher, and I do both. You know, you know that you inadvertently can wipe something up, or somebody can come and use a sponge on the counter and then use something on the floor. You know, I've had grandchildren who've done that, and then put it back on the counter and think, oh, a little bit, let's not use that.
That's got to be, you're absolutely right, and that unfortunately at this juncture has got to be balanced off with people who, I'm sure you were taught to rinse the fruit. You know, as a you just rinse it. You rinse
stuff.
But
not to scrub it with soap.
But now and I this goes back years. But I had a friend who basically disinfected every single thing she bought in bleach. And
fruit? You mean vegetables?
Yeah, I mean diluted, but still. So there's I walked in once and I said, what are you doing? And she said, oh, well, you know, everything I buy, I pretty much decontaminate. I was like, oh, what are you? And so, you know, people have gotten way over, I'm not just talking about her, but the, you know,
listen to me here. Germs. If you're going to ever become resistant to germs, you have to be exposed to some.
Of course.
That's
the whole thing. I mean, you know, when we were kids and we used to eat dirt, we found out later that actually it's not a bad thing. By eating the dirt, you put some things into your body. I mean, not talking about eating a whole plate of dirt, but you put things into your body that ended up protecting you.
Not even a bowl of dirt. A plate of dirt.
You go out and play, and your mother, you managed to get down to the dinner table without having your mother notice. You didn't wash your hands.
Right.
Yeah. But the point is that when you read these warnings and it said make sure you wash your fruits and vegetables properly and thoroughly, you're right. Sometimes you scrubbing a strawberry with diluted Clorox might actually take away some of its taste.
Yeah, and plus not have a happy effect on your personal health and your resistance. Yeah. So there's a balance, but once again, common sense, you know, plays a massive role, as Marshall says.
I think it really is worthwhile every once in a while, especially if you're going to a new part of the country and you don't know what restaurants are safe or not. When you're looking up menus, prices in a restaurant, you might just check out iwaspoisoned.com because it does pick up some of the food chains in particular that are known for their lack of cleanliness. And it's just good to be thinking, well, I can go here rather than there because I'm not sure that this is a very good place to go. And thank God we do have, underfunded, we have a Department of Public Health that goes around checking restaurants, you know, to make sure that when the cockroaches and the rat droppings, are out of the kitchen.
At a limit. Thank you very much. That's lovely. Thank you very much.
What an enlightening topic. And watch out for the bears, Marshall.
Okay.
Dr. Judy Wertzman, Food for Mood.
And, of course, you can hear Judy Wertzman right here on Robin Hood Radio on Thursday mornings, rebroadcast, of course, and also on demand.